What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Mairead, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Sean.
And I believe you saw your first swallow.
I did, and your listeners know, if they listen regularly, that I'm a complete and utter nut when it comes to the swallows and the cuckoos at this time of the year. Now, I think it was a house martin rather than a swallow, because it returned to its nest on the outside of a building. The swallows go inside the buildings. The house martins, swifts, I think they're outside. But definitely was there, and just great to see them, you know, really, you know, great. And they're bang on the last year's date. They came the 8th last year, you could say the 7th this year, but I'll be going out for my walk now when I'm finished talking to you, and I hope to heavens to see another few of them as well.
Right, okay. So that's the sign that the spring is here. And has the lambing finished now, or are you still?
Yeah, we're down to our last two or thereabouts. Possibly a third lady, we have to check on her. And you know what? It's been a very good lambing. The scanning worked out really well. You know, we were able to manage the sheep so much better, and you know, keep lambs attached to their mams and make sure they got the first colostrum milk into them. Now, we had terrible weather, of course, which meant we couldn't let lambs out. They were just too tiny to be let out in the cold and the wet and the wind. We had some awful weeks here during the lambing. But we had one problem, though, and it may mean the end of one of our gentlemen. We had a trouble lambing single yos. Now, these are yos that are having one lamb, and they're scanned as such. Now, they didn't go into the shed, so they had to fend for themselves out around the farm. There was not an awful lot of grass there. We weren't giving them supplements or anything like that, or extra food or cereals. But they ended up, quite a few of them, having lambs that were really too big for to deliver. The lambs were too big. So we had to get the vet in several times to deal with that situation and bring the lambs into the world. And we had to intervene ourselves as well. So you don't need that. You don't need the yo to have a tough lambing. You need a nice, easy, gentle lambing where she's able to recover quickly and look after her lambs rather than be exhausted or sore.
And is that a kind of a cesarean that the lamb gets at that? Or the,
well, no, it's more it's being able to manipulate where the head is and where the feet are. There's a wonderful YouTube video of a three-year-old taking a set of twins from a yo, you know, bring them into the world, a three-year-old, and little hands being able to do that. So really and truly, rather than kind of, you know, barge in and try and do it yourselves, it's better to get the vet in those difficult situations. They have a lot more skills about how to get a lamb into the world live and well without doing any damage to the mother, and bring the lamb in, you know, in good health as well.
Right.
So, but you know, it's just, we've a particular ram here, a particular breed, and he has a very big head, and it's he that's after bringing these lambs. So I'm afraid, and there weren't a problem with the doubles, you know, it wasn't a problem with the doubles, but it was purely a problem with the singles, where even though we didn't think we treated them terribly, you know, well, what I mean by that is that they only got enough to keep going on. It's always a problem when you always have a single lamb that the lamb can be very big when it's comes to be born. And that's why you have to kind of keep them on kind of thin rations so that they don't have the energy to produce all that size of a lamb, because then they'll have a terrible job getting the lamb born. So it's a kind of preventative thing. So we thought we were okay, but obviously we were still very, very good to these yos, because the lambs were just very big. And as I said, the vet had to come several times to help bring them into the world.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Wolves you wanted to talk about.
Yes, the wolves. Do you remember, was it Eamon Ryan there a few months ago or a year ago or so suggested we wild wolves back in the
Well, sure, that's, yeah, there's, that's still going on, that it was not just him. Now, I think yeah, the well, wolves was kind of at the end of it sort of thing. But
yeah,
in
well,
general,
this was one of the things that they were, there were really, there was a lot of eruptions from the farmers up around that side of the country because, you know, it's not terribly remote. You know, you can get Wi-Fi in most places now and, you know, you can drive anywhere in an hour. You know, so it's not as if it was totally wilded up there. And but anyway, down in Spain, in the mid 1900s, like the 1950s or whatever, there's a natural wolf population in one of the regions there, Castilla y León. Now, I know I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but there's about 2,500 wolves down that in that side of the country, about 90% of the total population. And they were virtually extinct back in the mid-1900s, you know, 1950s, 1960s. And the government brought in strict regulations about hunting and poisoning them. So the numbers have really come on, so much so now that you're talking about 2,500 wolves in that region. But the local authorities have now been, you know, as a kind of result of pressure from farming groups, they have been keeping tabs on the number of animals that have been killed in the process for to eat for the wolves. And we're talking about 3,700 sheep and cows in that region that have actually been, you know, taken down by the wolves for to feed them. So there's a big debate now on about controlling the numbers of wolves and not letting it get any stronger or letting the numbers grow naturally and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I tell you now, if they thought you'd be putting in 2,500 wolves around Mayo or Donegal, I don't think now you'd get much of a good reaction. So it's a pretty heated debate there now with the farming community. But the local authorities have confirmed 3,700 sheep and cows in the region went to feed. So, you know, you wouldn't want to be out walking. Now, that very good film, An American Werewolf in London, was on television last night. So, you know what our cape was off.
And Chagas have a new, as I understand it, is it a new course they have? So basically you can milk a cow from your sitting room now. All you need is a laptop. Am I exaggerating?
Well, slightly, but you're getting there. I remember I grew up on a dairy farm. It was nearly all cows. And I remember the milking parlour going in, a milking parlour. And it was considered like the parlour. It was the bee's knees. I think it was a 6-unit milking parlour, herringbone style, Alfa Laval, all of the good things. And loads of people came to see it and everything. But before that, I remember the long cowhouse where, you know, the bucket plant was moved from cow to cow. And it was so cumbersome and everything that, you know, the milking parlour was the absolute Rolls Royce. And it stayed that way all through the years. And a lot of farmers are still putting in these milking parlours. And it's so easy to milk, you know, a herd of 200 cows. I know of young teenagers, you know, 12 and 13-year-olds together, two of them who can milk, you know, 250 cows with no bother whatsoever, who understand all the systems in it and know what they're at. But now we've got two other types of milking machines going into farms on a pretty regular basis. And one lot is robotic milkers. And these are, you know, each robot can look after about 80 cows, I think it is. And the cows basically, you know, they have a transponder on their neck. You know, it's like a necklace. And the machine then knows exactly what cow has come in and how much milk she got and what meal she got and whether she's come back again and if there's any problem with her. And they're proven very, very popular with people who are working full time and who want to get the dairy herd going. And they're certainly, you know, popular, and they meet a need for people who are in full-time employment, and they certainly suit, you know, maybe where you have up to 80 cows, or you don't want a second labour unit and you put in one of these instead for the next 80 cows. And then there's the other type of milking parlour that's going in, which is rotary, which is like a big circle, and the cows step on and they get milked, and when they come to the end of the cycle, they step back off again. And again, this is proven popular, but what it all means is an awful lot of stainless steel going into farms, when you think of bulk tanks and you think of feed silos and you think of milking parlours and rotaries and robotics and all the rest of it. And a lot of skill required, because these modern machines, you know, I think we've spoken before about how this is the age of electronics for farming. You know, it hadn't been taken advantage of it at all up to the last maybe 10 or 15 years, but it's certainly beginning to take technology on board now. And you need skilled people to take on this technology and be able to manage it. So Chagas has come together with the new Technological University in Dublin and a couple of other agencies, and they're putting on a skills course. It's a 2-year part-time course. I don't know exactly where it's going to take place, but I presume it's at Chagas outlets around the country. And it's a 2-year part-time pace, and it's for milking machine technicians, level 6 certificate. And it's for people who are totally new to the scene, and for those who want to upskill, who maybe are in milking parlours and have been looking after the same kind of milking parlours for years. So it's a really, it's you know, if somebody's looking for a nice course that keeps them out in the countryside, has them moving around, and certainly there's no end to the amount of dairying that's going on, and they're not going to be going extinct or anything like that. So it's certainly a career for the future if people are interested. So you can contact Chagas if they want more information on the course and when it's starting.
Now, those who are lucky enough to be able to drive more than 5 kilometres from their home might have noticed fields that are kind of very lime green in colour. What are they, Mairead?
Yeah, these are, they look so, it's like, you know, what would you call it? You know, it's a very pale green grass, and it's so uniform and it looks fabulous. And people think it's an exotic crop. Well, it's not. What it actually is grass. And it's zero grazing is what it's really all about. Now, I was thinking here today around the kitchen table, there are 3 ways of describing poaching. You do it with eggs, you steal it from pheasants poaching, and then you destroy land by poaching. And basically, you know, animals are quite heavy, especially cows or, you know, Finnish cattle, that kind of thing. And in the months of March and April, when certain parts of the country, like, you know, South Cork or West Cork or Waterford, can have their cows out on the fields without a problem in the world. In other parts of the country, March and April can be no-go areas, and they're inside being fed expensive feeds, and, you know, you need to keep them under cover because you can't get them out because the fields would go to porridge. And the same thing happens in September and October, and there's plenty of grass, but the animals can't access it. So now there's this new trend that's after starting, and it's called zero grazing. And basically, a tractor with wide wheels to distribute the weight so it doesn't get bogged down in fields. A tractor is out with a machine that puts loads up the grass, and the grass then is delivered straight to the cows inside. Now, they love getting the fresh grass, and the fact that they don't have to go out in the wind and the rain to get it is an added bonus. So you'll see more of it around the country, especially now down here in my side of the country in Limerick. You know, I've noticed now the take up of it very strongly this year, with slow growth over the last couple of years. So if you know, anybody wants to know now what zero grazing is, that's exactly what it is. It's fresh grass delivered directly. It's your ultimate takeaway, delivered to the door by whatever, Uber or whatever the different, we're too far from anywhere here to get any of these takeaways. So I don't even know the name of them.
Just Eat, it was Just Eat for Cows.
Eat for Cows, yes, yeah. Delivered straight into their shed.
Yeah, and lots of people, we started talking about swallows, lots of people texting to say they've seen swallows as well all over the place, though somebody's texting to say swallows arrived in Clonakilty in West Cork on April the 1st. So, of course, Cork has to do it first.
Cork people have to be first. Actually, the first place they arrived was in Tramore, and they followed then the second place, according to Birdwatch Ireland, their Spring Alive campaign. The second place they came into was the Old Head of Kinsale, and that was last week, and just before the 1st of April. So that's officially where they came first this year.
Right. Mairead, God bless you. Thanks a million.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.